Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Really, both the Jets and Giants coming off the deadline yesterday, very active for the Jets. Love the direction of Mugi and Aaron Glenn in year one. It is a clear rebuild, as it should be, stockpiling the assets. Obviously, you don't love giving up players with talent. It wasn't working. This is what you're supposed to do in a rebuild. Now you have a chance for Mugi and Glenn to bring in their own guys.
Bold. I love it. That is a very decisive move by Mugi. I think it's fantastic. I think the way the Gardner trade came about is very different than the way the Quinn and Williams trade came about. And we discussed that in the first hour, so I don't have to get back into it. But the other thing that I will repeat is that I also think it sends or it shows that the building is changing. And we just throw around the word culture, culture, culture. And people just associate, well, when you win, you have culture. Well, okay, that's true. But before the winning comes, there's a few, I think, non-negotiable checkpoints that have to at least be in place before the winning can occur. And I think trust is paramount in all of that. So that trust and building continuity and loyalty, okay, and having like lieutenants who you can confide in, that you know aren't going to go and text somebody, hey, guess what's happening? This guy wants to be dealt. Because if this was the old Jets, we would have known about Quinn and Williams saying, get me out of here, not once, not twice, but three times, as it's been reported that he wanted to be dealt. So the Jets are set up for 2026. The Jets are set up for 2027. In terms of the draft, they absolutely control the draft. They can make more moves in the offseason. There's enough of a basis of talent on the O-line in Garrett Wilson. I think Breece Hall gets an extension at this point and some other spots. They are really set up to do something that we just all want them to do, and that is to be good for a while and give yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl.
And build an infrastructure that can put the quarterback, whoever it may be, in a position to succeed here, as opposed to have to be the savior the way that Sam Darnold was asked to be, or Geno Smith, or Zach Wilson, and continued to fail in spots where they were set up to fail. So I love the now, it doesn't mean that it's going to work, but I love at least the direction of Mugi and Aaron Glenn here in year one of rebuild. This is how you should do it. And Woody Johnson should get credit for staying the hell out of the way.
Thank you, Woody.
Because at least he let his general manager make difficult decisions by trading a very popular player amongst the fan base with Sauce Gardner or even Quinnen Williams, whatever it may be. The fact that the owner didn't get in the way that Mara did when it came to Daniel Jones, bringing in guys in a new regime with Shane and Dable, forcing upon them the quarterback and the running back that he loved that came from a prior regime, which set that regime up for failure with Shane and Dable.
Yeah, that was a rough way to start there. And, you know, just the mindset of the Jet fans, like, processing this, it was, you know, really although Evan's first reaction, as he said on the show yesterday with Tiki, that his first reaction was ultimately different than the rest of the absorption, because then Quinnen Williams came into it. Like, his first reaction with Sauce, I guess is what I'm saying.
Was, and then what?
He didn't like it. Didn't like it.
His first reaction was he didn't like it with Sauce.
Did not like it with Sauce. Then the Q stuff came in. He's like, started to see it a little bit differently. So,
see,
and then
the direction. Okay.
Yeah. And listen, he's big on, well, now you got to deliver the picks here. That's a given. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but that's the most basic component of this. To me, I do understand those who don't like it. Now, I think that you are going to ultimately be proven wrong. And I don't like to make it a right or a wrong thing, or, oh, look at the scoreboard. You said this and I said that. And I'm not even talking about Evan. I'm talking about the Jet fans now. But I do think that this will really represent a transformative day in the Jets, because you Sauce Gardner to me will never be what he was his first year. He just won't be that guy again. You know, maybe he'll be used a little differently in Indianapolis, whatever, but he's not that guy. And Quinnen Williams, like this false hope that he was going to just wreck games and be a 10, 12, 13 sack guy. He hasn't been that guy for a couple of years. So I am okay with getting rid of those players, but a lot of people do overinflate good players on bad teams, whether it's Julius Randle, you know, whether it's some Yankees or Mets over the years. I am fine with this. I think it's clear vision by Muji, who had no connection to anybody that was here, and I think the Jets crushed it.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. We talked about this with the Mets earlier. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I'd like to see David Stearns do a little bit of this. Now, it's not a total rebuild the way that it is with the Jets, but taking guys that were here before he got here and maybe try to move on from them and rebuild it in a different way. You could have an immediate rebuilding process as opposed to just sticking with Nimmo, sticking with Lindor, bring back Alonso, bring back Diaz, just keep everybody from an 83-win team who's failed in the postseason since 2022 or failed to get to the postseason. To me, that's not a recipe for success, and fans hold on to, especially from losing teams like the Jets or like the Mets or like the Knicks for years, whether it was Carmelo and, oh, you could never move on from Carmelo because he's the god here or whatever. Pick a player. Even R.J. Barrett or IQ. Oh, no, we love Barrett. Uh-huh. That trade was unpopular at the time. So fans do overrate players, especially homegrown guys.
Yes.
From losing teams, they hang on to it, but it's not necessarily the recipe for success. The Jets were not having any success with Williams or Gardner, and now at least there's a path to rebuild this thing the right way. As for the Giants, they didn't do anything. I also think that's the right way. I hope it was from an edict from Mara having a freeze on moves. Nobody here is doing anything with this team, with this roster, because I'm not so sure these guys are going to be around next year. That's how I would make it. As a matter of fact, I would move on from them sooner than later to get that process started now. Why wait? Nothing that could happen in the final eight games would change my mind. But I think it was a good thing that the Giants didn't make any moves, whether it be a receiver, whatever it may be. I mean, shockingly, this may be hard to believe, even harder to believe than the Jets trading Sauce Gardner or Quinnen Williams. Shockingly, nobody out there wanted Evan Neal or Jalin Hyatt, so the Giants stood pat at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and you brought this up yesterday about, you know, maybe this mandate from ownership that they would not be allowed to do anything. And it is a very interesting thought. I don't know if it's true. Now, if that was said, or at least, you know, maybe, even if it wasn't like a bold, hey, the clamps are on, and it was more of a passive edict, like, hey, listen, let's just stand pat. We don't need to do anything. I don't know. Well, eventually we'll find that out as well. But if it was a staunch, you're not doing anything, well, then that tells you all you need to know. Then the Giants will have a new GM and a new head coach next year. If there was none of that going on, and Joe Shane just didn't think there was a deal to be struck, well, then there is a path for them to be back here. So I do think the Giants need to move on. I'm obviously well on the record with that. But I would have liked to have seen them at least look for a wide receiver, because it's still about the quarterback. But I get it. You're 2-7. You're not going anywhere. You didn't want to go nuts with the draft capital to get somebody like a Jacoby Meyer or Waddle. They stood pat. And now the evaluation of the Jets and the Giants, doesn't it feel very different? Like the darkness that overtook the Jets this entire season versus that comet of energy that shot across the sky for the Giant fans, that's dissipated with the Cam injury and the reality of the record, and now Jet fans are energized. It's the exact opposite.
We could also pit them against each other and say, which one would you rather be right now? Or we could say that there are reasons to at least be hopeful for each franchise. I hate even saying that, because there are times over the years that we've been that way, whether it be with Rodgers or Shane and Dable after the first year. But there is a legit reason to believe in Jackson Dart, regardless of what the situation around him may be looking like next year. There's reason to believe in that. And there's reason to be hopeful and excited about what Muji and Glenn have done. It's never been to me about the wins or losses in year one. Obviously, you'd like to build a foundation by winning some football games here, but the fact that they have a clear, decisive direction now, how could you not be beyond excited about the draft next year or beyond that, or seeing what they could do to try to build this thing in the coming years? That to me is very exciting.
It's more than exciting. Yeah. Like it's incredibly uplifting. I said to Sal, I mean, I haven't been this energized really since the night Aaron Rodgers came running out of the tunnel. And I know, I mean, think about what a loser statement that is, but that's the team that I chose to root for. So it's not an overreaction. It's not some delusional mindset like, oh, that's it. Yeah, Super Bowl, here we come. It's the understanding for me. It's like an awakening, like, okay, maybe they finally, at the most important spots in the building, have the right guys in place. I love the plan from yesterday.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Josh is in Philly talking about his G-man. What's up, Josh?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me. Big fan. So I'm torn. I'm torn from breaking down the entire team from new uniforms to coach and GM to these guys did draft Dart, who appears to be the real deal. So they did draft a QB, the most important position in sports, but seems to be they can't just get out of their own way. The culture stinks. The stadium stinks. I don't know what to do. I'm torn. I trust you guys.
I don't think you should be torn because I just don't think there's a whole lot of, I respect you saying that, but I wouldn't be as torn. I'm going to try to give you a little clarity here, at least from my prism of Giants evaluation. I just don't think they have the right head coach. I don't. And I don't think that they have the right general manager. And think about the Chargers. Like, Jim Harbaugh did not draft Herbert. So, you know, there's always a brighter tomorrow. And I'm not trying to sound like some corny Hallmark expression, but you got the hardest part. To me, you found the quarterback. And now the Giants went from an eyesore that nobody really wanted to be around to. I think it's going to be a very appealing job if and when it opens up. That's my advice.
The counter would be they felt like they were in this spot before with Daniel Jones, meaning they believe they had the quarterback, then they just needed to find the right coach and the right, you know, the ability to build around him with the right people.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't work many times over. You cannot let history repeat itself in that regard again. However, I believe it's different. I'm just saying that would be, I could understand why some Giants fans would feel like, I don't know, man, you finally found the quarterback and the head coach has had success with him offensively this year. Why risk breaking that up? I would risk breaking it up because I don't believe Shane and Dable are good enough, and I believe you could do far better than those two guys.
That's why you do it. I'm right there with you.
Understood, but just know that that's not necessarily the right answer either. Like, there is risk in that.
There's risk, but even the Jones stuff, I mean, it's and I know you know this, but it's such a loose comparison. Like, Jackson Dart just got drafted. He wasn't a top five or a top 10 pick. So the contract, I mean, in terms of actually coming into play, is so far down the road. Whereas with Daniel Jones, there was the immediacy of like, all right, we got to make a decision. You know, because based on when he was drafted.
No, but I'm talking about even before. Like,
I know.
You're talking about Shurmur and Joe Judge.
I know. I also think that while there were some signs, some little flares, that day, even his first game against the Bucs, I'm like, wow, he's fast and he's got a good arm. I remember when he came in, I think that was week 3, I think it was.
I remember a game against Washington, I thought.
I thought his first game was against Tampa.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I remember a game against Washington that he was throwing the ball well.
And he looked really, really, really promising to me, but he didn't look like Jackson Dart. To me, Dart looks different. He just looks different. I think he's got more talent. I think he's definitely what he emits from a leadership point of view. You know, and it's not to besmirch Daniel Jones. He's doing well so far in Indianapolis, but I think I've said this about Jackson Dart. I feel like the entire locker room feels him. You could be some, you know, big hick from the middle of the country. You could be from the inner city. You could any religion. Like, I just feel he's the kind of galvanizer that the entire locker room will follow. And it's not a diss of Daniel Jones. I just don't think he elicited that kind of a reaction from the guys that he was trying to lead. I think it's very different for me.
Ryan is in Oceanside. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
How are you?
What's up, Ryan?
Got a crazy, crazy jet proposition for you guys. So I think at the end of this guy's been in the league now for like 6 years, I think. And I think things are running stale. I think the Jets, what do you think about the Jets giving Dallas back their one and a second round with Dak Prescott? Hang up and look.
Yeah, I heard that somewhere yesterday. I wouldn't slam the door shut on it because Dak Prescott's good. There's no doubt he's good. If you want to marry yourself to that, not that you are, you're just really asking the question, the caller, and appreciate the call. I would say, all right, do you really think he's going to win a Super Bowl? Like, do you see Dak Prescott going into Buffalo or going into Kansas City or going into Baltimore when Lamar's healthy and out-dueling those guys, you know, for the next couple of years, or Burrow and Cincy if they get their act together on defense? My answer would be no. Now, it doesn't mean that, and I think Dak's really good. I think he's a definitely top 10 quarterback, probably top 7 or 8, and he would elevate the Jets without question, but the elevation for me would not be enough because I don't think he's a Super Bowl quarterback.
Right, but do you think Sam Darnold is?
No, I don't.
Okay, me neither, but you could go over. Do you think Baker Mayfield is?
I think Baker's got a chance with the right
Super Bowl winning quarterback?
Baker's the one guy that of the three that we just mentioned, I would say that I'm not going to put a limit on him.
I'm just saying, like, when you start going down the is he a Super Bowl this, is he a Super Bowl that, that's a, like, come on, that's nearly an impossible thing to do. So I would start with, can this quarterback elevate the franchise and get me to the postseason more consistently, which would eventually, hopefully, lead me to a Super Bowl, and you take your chances there.
You can look at it that way.
That's how I would do it.
Okay, I mean, I would rather identify the guy or the young man in the draft there and, you know, be full bore as, you know, as a personnel department, fully convicted. This is the guy. We're moving mountains because we've got a million first-round picks. We can go and get him if we're not first overall this year or next year.
Think about it this way.
And reset the finances. If you get somebody like Dak, he's covered with a big contract.
Do you think Josh Allen is a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
100%.
Me too, but he's never been. So
I understand
he's in
that,
the same boat as Dak Prescott. Like, he's never been. He's great. He's at the top of his game. The guy's winning MVPs.
Yeah.
Never been to a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, same thing. Never been to a Super Bowl. Now, you could say, well, Mahomes is in their way. Hey, I don't want to hear it. Like, that's the reality. So those are the guys you got to be able to beat. Even Jalen Hurts, when I first looked at him, would you say that he was a
No. Okay. I was stunned when they took him in the second round. But I think Josh, see, to me, those are two very different situations. And I love Lamar Jackson. I really do. Like, but Josh, he's my favorite quarterback in the NFL. To me, he has not gotten to or won the Super Bowl yet because of the deficiencies around him, more so than him. Like, I think McDermott's good. I don't think he's great. The defense is good. It's not as good as it used to be. So I think it's more of a reflection on the roster. Whereas with Lamar, I just don't think Lamar's played well enough in some of these big games, man. Yeah. He's come up small.
Yeah, point is, the Jets are in a spot to where if they did want to go get a veteran quarterback, the way that Detroit did it by swapping Stafford for Goff and turning Goff into something better than even McVay can do. I know that, you know, the Super Bowl, that stuff with the Rams, Goff getting there, losing to the Patriots. But Jared Goff has been an excellent freaking quarterback.
He has been.
Maybe one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the league.
Not anymore. I think most people know where he's at now. He's good.
Now, it's about the structure and everything that they have around him, of course, all the weapons. But still, he's having great success there. I think you could look and see. You mentioned Burrow before. Maybe that's the one.
What about Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah,
you call the Jaguars?
Now, I don't love Lawrence.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Dak Prescott. Now, I wouldn't necessarily go.
Yeah.
Then Lawrence, yes, I would.
Five, 6 years younger?
I would not.
That's not a kid, Sal.
I myself would not go all in on either of those two guys. But the point is, the Jets should have options here, whether it be via the trade or whether it be in the draft, to find a quarterback. So I think all the options should be open.
And that's what is encouraging about this. Any conversation, whether it's Dak, whether it's Lawrence, whether it's Burrow, whether it's draft, it's on the table now for the Jets because of yesterday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A nice emotional rescue, huh? It's nice to feel happy. It's nice to feel secure. Nice to feel stable. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, obviously, here on the Fan. Got you till 2. Then it's Evan and Tiki. We'll get back to the calls. Let's get B-Wright is up in Yonkers. B-Wright, what's cooking, buddy? How are you?
Good, guys. Yo, what's going on, boys? How are you guys?
What's up?
Not too much. So, listen, I'm a huge Jets fan. Like you guys, I'm feeling optimistic after the last 24 hours. Like the last caller from Oceanside, how you tossed out the idea of maybe trading for a quarterback like Detroit did with Derek.
Yep.
I'm going to throw out a different name for you guys.
Go ahead.
What about Kyler Murray? Now, listen, I know he hasn't looked great, but coming off the game the other night, there's talks already, Jacoby Brissett, could he be the guy? Is Kyler going to get benched? When we trade for him, it might not cost the unarm or a leg. He only has about 2 years left on his deal. See what that looks like. Instead of drafting someone in this class that doesn't look like it's a great quarterback class, as these so-called experts are saying,
yeah,
we kick the can to the 2027 class. Maybe have a shot at a guy like Arch or throw all our picks at a guy that we really love in that class.
Yeah, but hold on. If you get Kyler Murray, hold on. Well, hold on. Right. Now you're contradicting yourself here. I don't want Kyler Murray, number one. If you're open to it, I respect that. I'm not saying it's a bad thought. But you don't get Kyler Murray and then tank for Arch. Like, that's inconsistent. Because if you get Murray, theoretically, you win more games because he's better than what you have.
Well, yeah, why not just stick with Justin Fields if you want to draft Arch or whoever in 2027?
No, I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying we're tanking for Arch, but if you stay, and we have five first-round picks,
yep.
Kyler Murray shouldn't cost five first-round picks. We might be in a position where, even if we're in the middle or later first round, if we could trade up, and it doesn't have to be Arch. I mean, the 2027 class is just looked at right now as a better quarterback prospect class.
But that is a contradiction. You either want to draft a quarterback in a year or two or trade for a guy like Kyler Murray. Why both? I'm confused at that.
The only reason why we throw Kyler Murray's name out there is because the years left on his deal. Like, more so as a bridge quarterback. I don't know if Kyler Murray is going to be a savior, but if he can have us competitive while we don't have to bring a guy in and start him right away, I don't know. It's just, yeah. I think it's something to contemplate.
Yeah, interesting thought, B-Wright, and thank you for the call. You know, I thought about him before, BT. We were going over the list. We were saying Dak and some of the other quarterbacks, the idea of, you know, Josh Allen being a Super Bowl quarterback, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking at, in my mind here, as we're having the conversation on the air, I'm going through the teams, scrolling up the standings. And Kyler Murray was somebody that I thought about with Arizona. They just benched him. Like, I would not want, I don't know what his contract is. Maybe we could look into that, what Murray's contract. I would not want Kyler Murray here. Come on. If I'm making a move, if I'm the Jets, it's going to be, like, if Dak Prescott became available, and you want him, you make that move to say he is now our franchise quarterback, not as a stopgap. And Kyler Murray, I would not be making that move to have him be a stopgap. I'd rather just go with Justin Fields for another year.
That guy's 5'10". I mean, I don't need a 5'10 quarterback. I'm not looking to do this. Unless,
who's failed?
Yeah. Now, he hasn't flamed out like some of these busts. Like, he's had some good years and certainly some very high-level moments, but that's not the move for me. He's in the building, and he's going to be benched for a percent, as you just said. What doesn't that tell you all you need to know?
And how many inconsistent, now they've had different coaches, whatever, but how much inconsistency have we seen from Kyler Murray, where it looked like he was going to be unstoppable when he first burst onto the scene, him and Cliff Kingsbury? He was set up to actually succeed there and did for a little bit and then fell off. You get one shot at this, one shot at picking your franchise quarterback. There is no exact way. You don't have to draft one and develop them. You could trade for one, but you get generally one shot.
Unless you're the Giants, then you get more than one.
Yeah, well, the owner forces one on you. Generally, you get one shot. And really, you should only get one shot. By the way, Joe Douglas as well had multiple chances. So for me, if I get one shot, there's no way in hell I'm going after Kyler Murray, a guy who has failed multiple times over in Arizona, even with the potential and appeal being there.
The caveat for me would be, you know, am I getting him on 70 cents on the dollar? Like, it really does still come down to value for me.
Well, what is, Kauf, can you look up his contract here? Because what's the commitment to Kyler Murray? Would it be just instead of Justin Fields?
Well, Justin, think about this. One of the brilliant things about Muji, brilliant's a little strong. But one of the appealing things about Muji is that he seems to have a good feel for structuring contracts that are not punitive to get out of.
So, like, Fields could be the backup next year, no harm, no foul.
He's due $10 million guaranteed.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he's making 20 this year, so for a starter, $20 million in the NFL in 2025 is nothing. And next year, if they were to buy him out, what, it's $10 million, which is beyond nothing. Tyrod Taylor's almost making $10 million this year. So he seems to be pretty good at that. I don't know the exact, maybe Hoff has pulled it up, or you have it, Sal, the exact, you know, depth of the contract, what's already been paid in terms of the bonus and the guaranteed. You got something?
Hoff,
you got it there, bud?
Yeah, he's got 3 years remaining. So, 2020, he'll be a free agent in 2028.
Okay.
That's when there's a club option there for $34 million.
All right, team option for 34, right, and right, which
the
is cheap.
The base salary this year is 18. Next year it goes up to 22.
And then drops down to 19.5.
Yeah.
What about signing bonus? Because that's what matters.
Signing, let's see.
Because that's what you would get hit on in terms of the Cardinals.
Roster bonus for 2026 is $17
million. Okay.
And then $14 million the year after that. So that's probably where you're getting to the cap hit. This year it's $43 million. Next year it's $53 million. The following year it's $43
million. He also gets bonuses to work out. So he gets $1.8 million just to work out.
$43 million a year cap, $53 next year, and $43 the year after that cap hit. Like that,
I hate the person who came up with the math for the NFL.
Yeah.
So if you have a $23 million contract, why can't it just be a $23 million cap hit?
Yeah, it's all over the place.
I can't stand this.
But that's still a lot of money. Like, we don't have to know the exact breakdown of it all. That, to me, a $53 million cap hit next year for Kyler Murray?
Yeah, no, listen, Kyler, I just, if it's a deal that is, you know, Cardinals are desperate, Cardinals pay some of it, or they were already giving out a good amount of the bonus, I would have the conversation. There's no way I'm moved. Like, I'm not looking at him saying, all right, this is the guy that's going to elevate the Jets to a point that, but it would be part of the plan, I guess, loosely.
Yeah. Huff. I mean, look, is he better than Justin Fields?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you'd rather have him than Justin Fields, but that's not, we want to go from Justin Fields to the next guy, the guy. Not like Kyler Murray. Yeah, he's better than Justin Fields, but now we're inching our way. No, it's got to be Fields, from Fields to the guy.
Okay, but do you think Dak would be the guy? Back to the conversation before.
I would not go all in on that, but I'd be much more open to that than Kyler Murray.
So would I.
Yeah, and
Dak
also,
over Kyler. With no question.
Dak Prescott is, I mean,
he's very good.
Yeah, he's been proven to be a winner here. I know they failed in the postseason.
I like him.
But Dak Prescott's been a very good quarterback.
I just wish he was a little younger. 30, what is he, 33?
Okay, but that's what I'm saying.
34?
So, but that's a factor as well.
Yep.
Like, when you're talking about going all in and making your decision, that's a factor as well. Patrick is in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I want to make a Giant point and ask you both a Jet question. So, obviously, I think there was the thing with the Giants is, like, the coaching staff, you're right. It's actually basically wanted to welcome out. And actually, but you got to bring in an experienced guy. Like I said, last week, I said Mike McCarthy or, you know, a pie in the sky, hopefully Brian Flores. Those are the kind of guys you need. And as for the Jets, let me guys ask you guys a question. If you guys had sons and they were lucky enough to be the number one pick in the draft and you had an opportunity to go to the Jets, and right behind drafting the Jets is the 49ers and the Bears and Green Bay, what would you guys do?
Jets, because my son's a Jets fan.
Yeah, I would not. I would want to. Now, I would like to think that I would teach my son, and thank you for the call, Patrick. It's a fun hypothetical. I don't have a son, but even my daughter, if she wanted to play quarterback, whatever, in this hypothetical, I would like to think that I would teach her to, you go wherever you're drafted. However, if you're asking me, and you are asking based on where do you think that our children would have the best chance to succeed.
Fantasy land here.
Clearly it's not.
Sal.
Right.
Clearly. Are they going to be better with the Jets or the Niners? Your daughter and my son. Where's the better career? Are you going to go, Sal?
I mean, come on. It's not even up for debate. It's a proven fact.
Yeah, yeah. You run away from the Jets.
I mean.
Unless.
Well, right.
But hey, your daughter's 4 or 5. My son's 10. So by the time that they're of quarterback age, maybe Muji has established himself as a 49er type of GM, and maybe the answer in 15 years is the Jets.
It sounds crazy, but it's certainly possible.
I know it is.
So, right now, of course, you'd rather go play for Kyle Shanahan because he's turned, you know, subpar. I mean, he's winning with Mac Jones. That's all you need to know, not to mention the other guys, versus the Jets, who can't take talented guys and get any success or wins out of them. But yeah, I mean, it could turn around. Maybe this is the right combo with Muji and Glenn for a change.
The other thing, too, and it's like such a little piece of the pie, it's not even really fun talking about, but some of these players they got back, too. Now, I'm less enthused about the defensive tackle from Dallas.
But still, he was a second-round pick?
He was first-round
pick. And he started, Mitchell was a second-round pick.
The receiver, Mitchell, was second-round.
Did you see the clip of Mitchell burning Sauce Gardner?
I did. He burned him. Sauce grabbing his cleats as he flies by him. Of course, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So, and he, I read some of the quotes coming out of Indianapolis. Like, he's very well thought of, despite him dropping the ball at the goal line that everybody clowned him for, which I get is a meme. He was very, like, his intelligence, his commitment to the game, his talent, like, they were lauding him. It's like, we didn't want to get rid of him. We just basically have too many guys. Like, and it's not like they have too many guys who are, like, C-level players. Everybody on their roster is a good receiver. Yeah. Tight ends could go get it. There was no room for the kid. So, you know, I'm very curious how that goes. And it's like, it's not just the ability. And I'd love to know if Muji, when it was presented to them, was it, hey, we'll give you this. And he's like, nah, we're good, which seems to be the case. And then they kept coming back. And then it was like, you can't turn it down. Did he ask for the player? Like,
I would bet that he did.
I would think so, too.
I think he identified a guy
I think
that he
so
wants,
too.
Which is what you love
and
about
positions
that.
Of need. Same with Dallas.
Right.
All right, you're going to take Hugh. Well, how about this kid that you drafted in the first round a year ago who played 17 games for you last year that didn't do a whole lot, but we'll see. We'll kick the tires on him. Yeah, we need a receiver. We have a depth chart issue right now with a bunch of guys who are trying to distinguish themselves. Bring him in. Why not?
Right, the D-tackle that you hope can replace Quinn, and not that he's going to give you that exact production, but at least some kind of body
you
in there.
Know.
And then the wide receiver that should upgrade their offense, no doubt about it.
I'm excited, man. Yeah. I really am.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Johnny's Report brought to you by Sullivan Papain, New York Strong, from the court to the community. Remember the name, Sullivan Papain. Johnny's obviously played one night the other night. They got their win. They looked really good. And this will be fun at the Garden coming up this week, Sal. So number five,
who do you
got? Alabama.
Okay.
Got Alabama. Johnny's number five coming in right now, Saturday at noon. Alabama, top 15 team of the country. Now this is where it gets, now it's different. St. John's is now the hunted here. So last year was amazing. You know, 31 wins. You enjoyed being part of the ride.
Yeah.
You went to a game with Hoff. Remember that?
Yeah, courtside for Xavier, maybe?
I thought that was the Georgetown game that you got. Maybe it was Xavier.
Yeah.
I think Boone maybe went to Georgetown. Either way, so St. John's, just all the accolades a year ago. And now you turn the page and you look up and you got a whole new roster. Zuby's back, which is phenomenal. But I had a chance to see some of these new kids the other night that I had read about and watched clips about from other teams. Dude, now you still got to do it. I mean, but this team is beyond stacked. Ian Jackson, Dylan Mitchell, it's going to be a lot of fun. St. John's is just really, really good.
And to me, it's more about the head coach and the players. I know they're getting great players, and ultimately, you know, the talent has to win, but this is a coach who's experienced everything before. So I have no hesitation about him being able to handle the raised expectations, and I'm fascinated to watch it. I can't wait for the UConn game. St. John's going to be fun. So, maybe they have a lesser regular season or less regular season success, but ultimately it's not going to be about the regular season for this Johnny's team, and nor should it be. It should be about getting into the Final Four, trying to win a championship.
It's definitely about making that run to the Final Four, no doubt. So obviously we'll cover the Johnny's and have a lot of fun with them. We'll get Rick on at some point there. There it is, the Johnny's
coming
report.
Coming in tomorrow.
It's coming in tomorrow with his new golfing buddies next door, I see.
What's Boomer going on
and Gio starting to weasel in next to my guy, Patino.
He's coming in studio.
He is, all right. We could have had him. I just thought it was too early, you know?
Me too. I mean, you think he's bringing any swag? Probably, right?
Well, they got the new Adidas stuff, so they need to, you know, because I hooked you up with some Nike stuff.
I got to get
you guys some Adidas stuff.
Yeah, understood. I'm sure he's got, you know, boxes of stuff. Coach, if you're listening, I'm a large. Don't be sure? Don't be stingy with it. Yeah.
You're a large,
I'm
right?
I'm a large. I mean, sometimes it fits better than others, but I'm a large coach. Don't be stingy with it. Bring a box for BT and Sal.
There you go. I can't wait, man. Saturday's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll do it every Wednesday, the Johnny's Report, right here on BT and Sal.
Let's get back to the calls here. BT talking football, Jets, Giants, trade deadline stuff, 888-808-1019. The number to call, Mike is in Westchester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal, BT. I'm really happy that the Jets kept Breece, but I'm reading a lot of reports that he requested that he wanted to be traded, so I don't know how true that is. And if that is the case, though, going forward, I don't see Breece on the team next year.
All right, but why are you so focused on him? Like, to me, he's a lesser significant piece to what happened yesterday.
Well, no, I think that Breece is a he is going to be a big part of any success that the Jets may have in the future. You have to work around Breece at this point in Garrett.
Yeah.
So if Breece is gone, you know, that's a huge role. Look at Saquon. Look at we have to keep Breece. But if he's unhappy, it's kind of like not making sense to even keep him.
I disagree, Mike, and let me explain. I think it's actually very simple, and thanks for the call there, buddy. I actually thought that he would get dealt, and I was at various points during the last year or so. I remember going back to last draft, there were some rumblings about maybe the Jets would trade Breece Hall, and I was okay with that because I never thought they would re-sign him. And, you know, you've got to look at that reality that's staring in front of you. Like, if you're not going to bring somebody back, you may as well get something for him unless you're winning. And then you just, you know, enjoy the season, you win some games, and then you let him bounce if that's what's going to happen. They're losing, and they didn't trade him, which tells me they're going to give him an extension. And I don't think that he's thrilled right now, but I think it's all economically, or I should say contractually based. I think that when... And there's a bit of an assumption on my part, but I think it's gonna happen when he gets the extension offer. I think that he will be placated and happy, and I think then Breece won't be miserable, and I think Breece will be a piece of the equation moving forward.
Would you have traded him for a fourth round pick? That was the offer from Kansas City, reportedly.
No, I would have liked a little bit more. I understand what they're doing now that they reset the finances. Now, if they didn't trade Q. And they didn't trade Sauce.
Then you would have wanted to trade him. Yeah.
Well, it would have been because not even that I really wanted to, but now it's like, well, how much money, what are we going to do? You're not going to give him a three-year deal worth $30 million, but you could do that in the neighborhood now that you got rid of Sauce and Quinton's contracts.
I don't know about the extension stuff. I'm not worried about that. I just look at the value. I don't think it would have been worth it to trade him for a fourth-round pick. Third-round pick, maybe a different story. Also, the one thing I would say, I was not... And I don't understand why he feels the need to go to social media with the stupid emojis and all that stuff. Like,
he's been doing that for a couple years now. Come on, grow up.
Exactly. So for me, I would be, if I'm Muji and Glenn, I'd see all that stuff and take everything into account while also saying I'm not trading him because he's got talent for a fourth round pick. We couldn't get what we want. I'm not going to be just giving guys away here. So I'll keep him. I don't care if he's happy or not. I'm going to keep him here, try to win some football games, and then reassess in the offseason. But if he's unhappy... He could go somewhere else, and I could replace that. You could find another running back. That's why I would have liked the third round pick. I think you could get a running back in the third, maybe fourth round too. But I just wouldn't be giving him up.
Well, Scatterboo was fourth round,
right? Okay, but does he have this? He's a totally,
no, it's a completely different
he's
running
a different
back
animal.
For sure. No
so
question.
The skill set of Breece Hall. I mean, you could talk second, third round pick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would not be married to him long term, especially if he's not happy. Maybe he does want to get paid. He's just always chirping
a little bit,
and the production hasn't matched. His ability to chirp, like, I wouldn't tolerate that, but I'm also not giving him away. I think it was more a circumstance of they were going to move him for the right price. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the right price, so they're going to keep him.
Which really reinforces what we've said all day here is that they have a plan, and they're not just going to be petulant or spiteful or overreact and wake up one day this is my mindset, the next day it's something completely different. They seem to have... You know, a script that they're following. And if somebody gives them reason to deviate from that script, like two first-round picks for Sauce, guess what? I'm open to it.
Also, not just going to accommodate guys, whether it's Quinnen Williams or Breece Hall complaining, oh, I want to get out of here. All right.
On our terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go.
That's how it should be. We'll get you out of here
when
we feel like the time is right or the price is right. BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.